Okay, this is a reading I chose from Isaiah. It's chapter 64. This is third Isaiah. There are three Isaiahs, one before the fall, one during the, where they're cast out. What is it? Not the Exodus, they're thrown out of their own country. Diaspora, they're scattered all over the place. The who? Come on, more words. It's exile. There you go. Exile, not Exodus. I'm sorry. Exile. Second Isaiah is talking during the exile. The third Isaiah, this is third Isaiah, talking about coming back to Jerusalem now that they're being released gradually to go back to their own country. Now, you got to know as a background to this, Israel has been, I always saw Israel after my studies, I always saw Israel on the map as kind of the ashtray of the whole eastern part of the world. Because if you look at their history, everybody comes over to the Mediterranean Sea, you know, in order to get goods out, etc. It became the mecca of transfer and transportation. In the meantime, along with that came all the kingdoms that were trying to have power struggles. They always ended up wiping out Israel. So Israel has been wiped out so many times in their history, which is why they feel like victims, even today. Now, they still don't have a homeland that's recognized by the world, you know, for whatever it's worth. But that's where they're coming from, out of that place. This reading really should be done by a rabbi, because I think only a rabbi who understands what was going on at the time would be able to do this properly. Now, I know in every church today and yesterday, this reading will be done in this manner. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains could quake at your presence as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil. You need a rabbi to do it this way. Talking to God. Oh, God, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When did you do awesome deeds? When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. You came down the mountains and they quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has ever seen any God besides you who work for those who wait for your coming. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. But now, consider that we are all your people. The word of the Lord. Have you ever wanted to scream at God? Don't hold back. Ever been angry that God didn't show up when you wanted God to show up? Isn't it frustrating to believe in a God who says, I'm always there, it isn't there? Again and again and again. That seems to be the pattern of God. And I thought about it, you know, in these last few days of all the things going on in politics and the world, how appropriate this reading is. When the basic realities of our lives, the things that we cherish and we honor, are somehow being tossed about as fodder for making headlines or somehow to advance one's position. When deceit seems to be more the rule of the day than honesty and truth. When so much is so right in the world gets buried under so much that is wrong. It's hard to tell what is what anymore, because truth has been relegated to various interpretations. And evil somehow has taken on so many different faces, some of them very friendly, some of them seemingly doing what we would like to have done, but at the same time insidiously chipping away at some of the very foundations that we build our lives on. It's troubling times. But something about these times, I think, is very much similar to the time of Isaiah, and very much in keeping with the history of the people of Israel, and also that comes to a head in the time of Jesus. And that is that God somehow is always there when you don't want God there. And God is not there when you want God to be present. Is it a joke? Is it a pattern of avoidance? What is God doing? I think it becomes obvious in Jesus that the presence of God is not relegated to certainly a temple, and certainly not through the mouthpieces like me. God's presence is diminished by so much of what we do in religious teaching. God's presence is somehow held off at bay by the things that we do at worship sometimes, because what we do doesn't seem to penetrate the skin, the shield, the heart, the soul of all of us who are present. Now, I know you're not there. You're not those kind of people. But I know I have a hard time sometimes saying and doing the things that I say and do, and still having some parts of my life and my perspective on things to be somewhat not just judgmental, but also moved into the negative category, because so much more is negative than there is positive. Jesus came into the very same world that we live in now. A world where righteousness and religion was tantamount to the majority of people, believers. Statistically, that is true in our country. Where the people who run these places seem to be more concerned about the numbers that fill their pews and the things that they do as a result, because they have so much resources to help people. Showers and berries, some of the basic realities of Christianity. For these very same groups of people can castigate groups of people who don't agree with their theology. Jesus came into a world where the government was very much in charge of almost every facet of people's lives, short of indicating how exactly they would live every day. Policies were in place that kept people who were marginalized, and people who were really the abject poverty people were kept in abject poverty. And people who were not of their nation or of their ilk were put in places of powerlessness, where women were not even second-class citizens, but were property along with their children. Jesus came into a world that was unkind and had the emperor on its side. Some of the things that we are experiencing in our culture today parallel those very things. And in the recent struggles for women to be recognized when they have been victimized by predators in all the places where they are being preyed upon, suddenly they're given a voice. After all these centuries of democracy, women have a voice to say, "You are wrong." The immigrant crisis is making us aware that not only are we a global economy, but we are a global people. And we all belong together. And for the millions of people who would be perhaps great citizens, there are a few who make it impossible because they are miscreants. They do cause problems, and they make the headlines and overshadow all the ones who would be good people. But they're all lumped together. This week, the Albanian Islam community celebrated New Year's. Not New Year's, their 4th of July, their Freedom Day. Goes back to when they overturned the government and found a little bit of a democratic voice in making their lives what they wanted. And in the paper this week, I was surprised to see that there actually was a picture, a photograph, of Albanian Muslims celebrating their 4th of July. Turn the page, and there's Muslims, 300 or so, killed in a bomb blast in Egypt because they're Muslims. We're living in a very hard time. Why am I talking about the presence of God? Because if you're like me, we can be so immersed in that reality and so maybe put in online to decide which way are you going to go. Who do you believe? What do you do? How do you handle all this stuff? Are they telling the truth or are they lying? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're so preoccupied with those things that how many of us took 10 minutes out of our lives in the last week just to be still and listen to the possibility of God's presence? That's not an indictment. I think that's an invitation about this season. Advent is a season of hope. It's a season of waiting. We are always waiting for God's goodness. We are always hopeful that God somehow is going to be there. And you know, and I know, that looking back on our lives, when we least expected it, God was there and something took place that we never thought would have happened. Louise and I were talking about this morning. She said something about, she came in while I was putting my beauty on, and she said, "How has life been?" I said, "Well, the last 27 years, it's been an absolute surprise every day." Isn't that what I said? It's been one big surprise. And I was kind of ready for it because my life was so staid and so formalized and so boxed in and so defined for all those years. I never gave a thought to 99% of what I look at now after I'm being married for 27 years and have family. You know. how much of our lives go by? And I say myself too, how much of life has gone by where I have not recognized or taken the time to listen to the God that I've been seeking all my life? We're all church people. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. You all have deep roots. It's time, brothers and sisters, that we promise ourselves in this Advent that we will find 5 minutes every day, any time that's comfortable, any time it's available, 5 minutes to sit in silence and invite God to be recognized. It won't change the world. Jesus didn't change the world, but he made a hell of an impact on civilization from the time he came to this very day. I believe each of us is being called by God to be recognized. And in recognizing God with you, remember, you become God's presence for the rest of the world. Not out of duty, not because it's a rule, not because it's going to give you graces to get you into heaven, not that it's going to wipe away any sins, but simply because you will be touching the truth that you have sought all of your faith life. And you can do it at home. You don't even have to come. Do come back. But you don't have to come. You can do it at home. You can even do it in the shower. Wherever it's peaceful, take 5 minutes and invite God into your silence. Then we can say, Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen. Holy One, we call you holy because you are beyond humanity, and you are the power that is sacred and makes sacred all that is. We open ourselves to you again and again in hopes that our vulnerability before you will allow you to touch us and speak to us and guide us. Jesus said that when he returned to you, he would send the Spirit, the Advocate, the Benefactor, the Helper, to ensure that we would know and understand and be moved again and again by your presence. And so this day, very simply as we begin this season, we ask you to send that Holy Spirit to us, into our lives, into the places that are darkest for us, into those places that keep us stuck in place, into those hurts and those unresolved situations that keep us somehow in turmoil. Enter into us that we may become molded as clay in the hands of the potter and become the people that you created us to be. Whatever gifts you give to us, we appreciate as gift, and we are grateful. But we also recognize that every gift we have is given so that we may give in return to others. Be with us as we strive to a deeper openness and understanding of you, and a fuller acceptance of your Spirit into our lives, and to help us recognize when you are calling us through others to extend ourselves in a way that will give life to the world. Breathe heavily that Spirit upon our earth and upon all the living, so that indeed we may come to a place where the heart of peace will beat in each one of us, and together we may recognize and celebrate your abiding presence with us. We ask you to hold our world and all of its peoples in your hands. For all those whom we have called into prayer, for all those who are listed for prayer concerns, for all those who are hurting and suffering, for those whose children are dying from lack of nutrition, and the famines and the disasters of the world, and for all those who are losing hope that somehow life can be bettered. Together we raise our voice as one, and we call you God, our Father and Mother, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.